You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, welcome to the house of All Marine Radio, the home of post-traumatic winning. Yeah, all of that. Mike McNamara in for a Monday edition. Hope all is good in your world. I have a friend that's... I will give him no designator, okay? So anyway, I have a friend, and he's relocating, okay, his family. So I went to say goodbye to him on Saturday. Thought that was my moral obligation, okay? And so I go do that, and I take Colleen with me. Because Colleen's a Midwest gal. They're relocating to the Midwest. So I told Colleen, I said, hey, it'd be pretty cool if you went with me. And they have kids, right? Anywhere from high school age to middle school age to grammar school age. I said, it'd be cool if you went and said, you know, hey, you're going to have a great time. And she goes, I'll do that. They will. And I said, I know. So, Colleen and I go down there. Find out that in the midst of this heat, my friend, his truck doesn't have air conditioning. Like, what? Like, whose idea was that? I mean, who goes to the car dealer and say, yeah, I don't want air conditioning? I mean, it's standard equipment. What do you do? Have to special order it? From the factory that makes throwback vehicles that get a... So, can you imagine? Like, okay, kids, we're going to drive through the Nevada desert, the Utah desert, the California desert, Death Valley, Well, we won't actually drive through Death Valley, but we'll be, you know, we'll be pretty fucking close to that thing. And, you know, your kids are like they look around like, okay, Dad, it sounds like a really good idea on your part. Are you kidding me? So, so yeah, so I bequeathed to my friend my towing strap that I haven't used since I left North Dakota. But in North Dakota, used it on a regular basis. Driving down the road, somebody in the ditch during the winter, stop, hey, you need a hand? Yeah, I do. Gave him some good advice with it. Don't hook it up to the bumper unless you want to own a bumper, okay? There's hooks on vehicles. Make sure you get something like that. Or if it's in an awkward spot, get it on an axle, the part of the chassis, part of the frame, okay? Don't be yanking off plastic parts. Gets expensive. He's like, got it. So, yeah, so my friend, and then he sends a text message. He says, I sweated through my clothes. So if he sweated through his clothes, that means he probably sweated through the seat. Now, I can't remember if he has, like, leather, vinyl, imitation, or material. You know, I hope it's not material, because anybody else who would drive, right, would have to be sitting in a sweat. Disgusting. So, anyway. Yeah, friends, headed for a better quality of life. So congratulations to them. But, yeah, I don't like what. I saved $1,000 on my. Well, and then that was offset by the special ordering fee. That was $750. So I saved $250 over the course of a 4-year loan. That was like, I saved like 12 cents every time I had to make a payment. Congratulations. Well done. Well done, bro. Well done. So that's going on in my life. I spent a fair amount of time with post-traumatic winning because the broadcast on Friday got screwed up. If you tried to listen to the live stream, and I would tell you, and I didn't want to try to redo it because I thought it was good after I did it. I said, wow, that's good. And I don't know, something happened. I've been tweaking my computer. I got 2 new monitors, a new video card. I did a Windows update, right? And then you can only imagine, right? All the little tweaks that go into making your computer run now get reset and you're, right. So I don't know what the hell it was, but something clicked and told me USB device is not working. And then that caused the audio was accelerated and the audio was accelerated and it was fuzzy. So when I heard it, I went, so I thought, well, how do I fix it? So at first I thought it was my player, and then I flipped it to another device, and it was like, no, it ain't you. It's not the player, it's the file, which is not good. So anyway, I found the point at which the change happens, and then I recorded everything after that. And it was interesting because, and then I got a call from Bob Nielsen this morning, and we were talking about suicide and COVID and things like that, and with veterans. And so I was telling him, I said, you know, Bob, I spent a fair amount of time yesterday. It was like all day event because I had to I had to write a script of what I would say based on what I said on Friday because I didn't want to try to redo it again because I thought it was brilliant. Okay. So I thought, okay, I need to create the script and then I'll redo it. Well, that's easier said than done. So what I do is you bust out Microsoft Word, you play the kind of fuzzy file, but your microphone will still read it and it will transcribe it into Word. So that's what I'm doing. But, you know, if you ever use one of those programs, it is not word for word. Okay, it is not word for word. So then you got to go through and you got to listen a second time, and then you got to make the changes to make it look like it actually is. So anyway, so I spent a fair amount of the day and into the evening doing that. Then I re-recorded it, blah, blah, blah. Well, one of the things that to me has become extremely apparent is there is no choice. There is no choice. And the fork in the road is as stark as it could be. You could go there or you could go there. Now, let me tell you where there is. So the first there is you could go there, right? We will medicate you and you go to group therapy, you go to individual therapy, and we will help you endure this. That's the first there. Okay, so if I drew you a picture of that, what would it look like? What would you tell me that place looked like? I should have you draw a picture. Send me a picture of what road, interstate, you know, it's essentially interstates 2 and 3, what I-2 and I-3 look like. So you leave interstate 1, which is the no trauma interstate, right? So you got nothing. And then all of a sudden traumatic shit starts. And you go to interstate 2. And that's called the fake it freeway. But let's just say you haven't seen the title of the freeway yet. You're just driving down it, and you've got this stuff in the back of your truck now that's a part of your life. What does that road look like? Draw me a picture of it. Yeah. Or send me a picture of it. Send me a picture of what Interstate 2 looks like. And that is, I got shit in the back of my pickup, and I'm driving down this interstate. Okay. And then, and you're looking for an answer. And so then you see a couple more intersections. One, you can self-medicate with alcohol and drugs. Now, let me tell you, the on-ramp to that is huge. Yeah, that's a big on-ramp. Okay. And then there's another on-ramp, and that's fake it. That's a huge on-ramp too. So, and then there's people that successfully, I guess, deal with it. So draw me pictures of what that looks like. Or send me a picture. Just pick a picture off the internet. Send it to me. And then there's path number 4 or 5, depending on how you sequentially number these things. There's the path of post-traumatic winning. I can show you a picture of what that looks like. It's some dude standing on top of a mountain. Above the clouds. The clouds are broken. You can see down below. It's absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. So my point in illustrating that is I don't think there's no choice. My great frustration is nobody tells you about the other paths. Okay? Nobody tells you about those paths. I discovered it when Libby Weichel showed it to me. Or as the byproduct of what Libby Weichel taught me. That's how I got there. Nobody told me about it. And which is a little bit frustrating because I think that, you know, that path is uniquely suited to people that are prone to serve. And so to me, there is no, so the more I do this, now I know the path of post-traumatic winning. And so I'm talking last week and I'm redoing it over the weekend. And my point to everybody I spoke to last week is as sure as I'm standing here, this exists. Okay, and you can see in my life that I had an incident similar to yours. It was the first of many different events in my life that would be, you know, life-shaking. So to me, there is no other path. But, and I like to drag Stacy Falzerano into it because she's like smart, right? She writes about Chinese outer space operations. She's smart. Yeah, she's like smarty pants, smarty pants, smarty pants. That's how smart she is. So anyway, Stacy Falzerano, smart, smart, smart. What makes sense to her as she goes through the valley of darkness? Post-traumatic winning. The traumatic wisdom of the enlisted Marine Corps. And I think if you ask Stacy, are there other paths? And she would look at you and say, because she's really smart, smarty pants. Yeah, like she took the pants off smarty pants. Yeah. Anyway, so she would say, well, yeah, they exist, but you certainly don't want to go down those roads. Oh, interesting. So to me, there is no choice, which is frustrating to me. So anyhow, and the other thing is this, if you learn about what a serious mental illness is, right, psychosis, you know, clinically depressed, not struggling through tough times and down, but I mean depressed, okay, personality disorder, psychosis. So if you learn what serious mental illness is, obviously post-traumatic winning can't play in that realm. Certainly they need medical and mental health professionals to help them. But if you understand that impacts approximately 4.5% of the American population and less than 2% of the DOD, then everybody else is capable of reasoning and thinking and making decisions in their life. So that choice now becomes more and more clear to me. The frustration is most people don't know about a path that leads to transformation that takes you through extremely difficult times in your life, and how those traumatic experiences are actually doorways into the lives of other people and their traumatic experiences, and you use that doorway to change their life once you learn. And if you do that, you'll change your life. And so to me, so I spent a fair amount of time with that yesterday. So as you could tell, I got it in my head. So then I somehow or other, I get Eugene Sledge in my head. Okay, Sledge, he writes With the Old Breed. Pretty graphic account of being an infantry marine in World War II. So Sledge writes that. So I have it in my head, you know. And I searched for Sledge, and I wanted to see if there was any long formatted interviews. Because on Friday, I called his son and left a message. Now, I haven't heard back from him. The voice was very Southern. They live in Alabama. And so... I hope that his son called me back, because Sledge is an important part of post-traumatic winning. Sledge rides with the old breed at the urging of his wife. And so it's real interesting that the Jack Riley, who's another Alabama guy, post-traumatic winning's got a lot of Alabama roots. Yeah, it does. I mean, small state, right? Matt Kiker lives in Mobile, Alabama. Jack Riley, what? Boaz, Alabama. Libby and Luke Weichel, Huntsville, Alabama. No kidding, man. I don't think I'm leaving anybody out, the Alabama crew, but yeah, post-traumatic winning is disproportionately tilted towards Alabama. But anyway, so I called and left a message with Sledge's son, because I want to talk to him about his dad after the war, how he, you know, it says at the urging of his wife, he wrote. Well, writing was a way that you talked about your shit honorably, because you didn't just talk about your shit during World War II and after World War II. I mean, that was unseemly. You know, but William Manchester does it in Goodbye Darkness, right? I mean, think about that. I need to read that again now that I'm doing this. I mean, look at the title, Goodbye Darkness. So the darkness I need to read that. So anyway, Manchester and Sledge both use both use a vehicle available to them to talk about their shit. So I wanted to talk to Sledge's kid about his son, about his dad and that journey. So I'm rooting around looking for him and all the rest of this stuff, right? And so I then start just looking on the internet for Sledge. So the Eugene B. Sledge digital collection is at the University of Auburn, Alabama. Yeah. Son of Alabama. And so that's where his papers are. So I was looking for interviews and I saw this Eugene B. Sledge digital collection. What the heck? So I'm going to tell you what's in that collection. And then in hour two, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear, as I was kind of rooting through this stuff, I see this interview. And it's this weird little site. And it has Studs Terkel interviews Eugene B. Sledge. And there's six different audio files, but they don't play on normal audio players. Of course they wouldn't, right? In this obscure little website. And so I have to find out, like, what are these audio files? And I find the player. It's a real media player, which was more prominent years ago, but you don't see it at all now that there's MP3s. So anywho, I download the real media player and I play these interviews. And you're going to hear them today. And they're awesome. It's about, you'll hear it in two parts. You'll hear the first part today. And so Studs Terkel writes a book called The Good War. Okay. So he's interviewing Sledge. He's interviewing Sledge as part of the research of that book. Now, Terkel's a, he's a Chicago guy. All right. Born in 1912, dies in 2008. An American author, historian, actor, and broadcaster. Received the Pulitzer Prize for nonfiction for his work, The Good War, which he interviews Sledge for. He is best remembered for his oral histories of common Americans and for hosting a long-running radio show in Chicago. Terkel was born to Jewish immigrants. His father a tailor, his mother a seamstress in New York City. At the age of eight, they moved to Chicago, where he spends most of his life. He attended McKinley High School. Parents ran a rooming house that also served as a meeting place. Terkel credited his understanding of humanity and social interactions to the tenants and visitors who gathered in the lobby there. He married Ida Goldberg. They had one son. Although he received his undergraduate degree in 1932 and a law degree from the University of Chicago, in 1934, he was admitted to the Illinois bar the following year. He decided instead of practicing law, he wanted to be a concierge at a hotel, and then he joined a theater group. So he's got, how funny, right? I've got to be a success. I'm going to be a lawyer. And then he's like, screw it. I'm going to be an actor and a concierge at a hotel. A political leftist. Anyway, he writes a whole series of, of books. And so you'll hear Eugene Sledge. And what it made me want, I wish now I could have met Sledge. You know, okay, Mac, that's great, right? You want to list all the people you want to meet in history? Well, because here's why. Sledge is a deep thinker. He's a humble guy. You hear that. in the conversation with Studs Terkel. And so, and he was tremendously moved by his experience, obviously, in the Pacific. And as a thinker, you know, he came home and, you know, he tried to make sense of it. Man, he wasn't a TV watcher. He was a reader. He loved birds. Yeah, he's a bird watcher. And so, I mean, it's his conversation with Terkel you'll hear in about 33 minutes or so. And it's really interesting. So you'll hear the first part today. You'll hear the second part tomorrow. And pretty cool. Yeah, Studs Terkel must have had 45-minute tapes because it ends after 45 minutes. And it's really cool when it ends because he stops Sledge. And he says, this is really wonderful. He says something like, this is really wonderful stuff. And Sledge says, he goes, well, I don't want to be talking about myself, right? And running on and on and on, which is interesting because what he has inside of him, he wants to run on and on about. But as a humble person who knows that, you know, gentlemen don't talk about the horrors of war, right? He's got that going on inside of himself. So it would have been awesome to have a guy like him on the show, to talk about his thoughts about mental health and how do you do this. So anyway, you'll hear that conversation coming up here. I was absolutely geeked listening to it. I'm sitting here going, "Holy shit!" Because here you're hearing if you do a search on Gene Sledge, what you'll hear is you'll hear like 5 minutes of audio. And so somewhere somebody did a long interview and cut it up, and that's what survived. And it's just frustrating because the guy has so much more to say and so much more to offer. And if you read With the Old Breed and if you read China Marine or Combat Marine, whatever the second book's called, that they put together and released in 2008, you know, you see the depth that he writes with. And so, anyway, so you'll hear that. Now, the other thing I want to say is kind of current events thing. Because I like sports, I click on ESPN this morning. Roger Goodell is quoting. Okay. Wish we had listened to earlier to what Kaepernick was protesting. So Roger Goodell is the head of the NFL. He's searching for a way through this crisis. The last time the NFL went through something like this, it lost 17% of its viewers over the course of 24 months. So here's what Goodell says, quote, we had invited him several times to have conversations, to have dialogue. I wish we had the benefit of that. We never did. And we wouldn't have benefited from, and we would have benefited from that, absolutely. So what Goodell is trying to stave off is a backlash from protesting during the national anthem. And so for people like me and my friends, you know, it's pretty simple. Be respectful. Find a different way. There's all kinds of ways that you can protest. Have at it. But just be respectful. Understand that flag and that national anthem shouldn't be hijacked every time. That forum shouldn't be hijacked any time somebody's, you know, irritated about something. So be respectful. Find a respectful way to dissent. Right? But in my opinion, if you're disrespectful, you lose me. Now, Goodell can say, and he goes on to say, These people are not unpatriotic. They're not disloyal. They're not against our military. Okay. Well, you can say that. That's not what I believe. They might be patriotic. I think it's disrespectful. And so to me, and this is again what bothers me, we're not focusing on the issue. So what is the issue? Are we ever going to have a conversation about that? And I dare say that we're not. That we're not going to have a grown-up conversation about this entire issue. Okay? The most visible is the video, right, that we see of police encounters with black men. So, what's the truth? So, let's study the data behind it. Well, that takes you to an uncomfortable place. Because the data behind it doesn't fit the video. And we all know the only thing that's important is the video, right? That's the only thing important in our culture. So to me, Roger Goodell, you know, he's a CEO trying to steward his league through this minefield of social what? Good question. Social what? So let's talk about social what. You didn't see, do you remember the NBA in China? Remember when they got called out? Those money-grubbing fuckers in the NBA? LeBron James? Again, and I told you this would happen. You get near LeBron James' bank account and he goes silent. Doesn't matter about human rights of Chinese people in Hong Kong. None of that matters. It doesn't matter that nobody in the NBA was asked to comment now that, right, now that Hong Kong has been choked off. Nobody asked the NBA to comment? Interesting. Why not? Because we've turned the page on that. The NBA does not want to talk about the China episode. Oh, so I get it. I have a social conscience until it gets to my bank account. Got it. And I talked about this before. Colin Kaepernick, stand for something even if it costs you everything. Except Nike makes too much shit in China. It sells too much shit in China. So did Colin Kaepernick ever say anything about human rights of the Chinese? Not only no, but fuck no. So this is all a charade, in my opinion. When we get to the truth of this discussion, which is, okay, let's see the trend line in the country. All right, let's throw that out. Let's talk about it. All right, can we talk about what's going on in Chicago, for God's sakes? What the hell is going on there? And how do we put an end to it? And then how do we put an end to inner city poverty? What do we have to do in the United States of America, right, to get people employed, to get them educated, especially young women, right? How do we send the pregnancy rates down? How do we send the abortion rates down? How do we get them more educated so that they can get jobs, so they can get the fuck out of those places? And we stop these cycles of poverty. That's where the conversation has to go. How do you end, right, these enclaves of poverty in our country? But nobody wants, I mean, have you seen that discussion anyplace? I mean, I saw Marcellus Wiley. He's a commentator on the NBA, former NBA, NFL, former NFL player. He's one of the few people I've heard to talk about it comprehensively. He said, "I get nervous when the police come around." He said, "I make sure that I'm very overt with them. They know that I'm not a threat to them, you know, because I'm scared." He said, "But I'm just as scared when I go home that somebody in my neighborhood is gonna kill me, is gonna shoot me." He said, "And if we're gonna have a grown up conversation, we have to talk about all of that." Well, no shit. So I saw this thing with Roger Goodell, and Roger Goodell is trying to spin this issue. Right? Doesn't want to talk about the truth. The NBA has given millions and millions of dollars after the last what Colin Kaepernick thing was spawned by Ferguson, yes. remember, Colin Kaepernick wearing socks that had cops depicted as pigs on them. Colin Kaepernick, right? So it wasn't Colin Kaepernick's message, right? It was the mode that he chose. He could have used that forum to do incredible things. And now, an idiot cop somehow or other changes that narrative. Oh, we should have listened to Cap. Oh, he was right. It was never about his message. It was about his mode. And so, and then again, either message, once you begin to scrutinize the data, takes you to the same place. But they won't go there. So to me, it's pretty, I don't want to say it's frustrating, but there's a conversation that needs to happen in this country that people don't want to have. Because it doesn't fit the narrative that's getting run on TV. Yeah. And if it doesn't fit the narrative that's being run on TV, if it doesn't fit the video, then woe be it. But I would submit to you, if Black Lives Matter, and you look at the data, you will quickly see that that's not your problem. If Black Lives Matter, what needs to happen is we need to find out and figure out black-on-black violence. If Black Lives Matter, we need to find a way to drop pregnancy rates in the inner city, both among Hispanic and black girls, which are multiples of Asian and white girls. If Black Lives Matter, we have to solve the education piece to get people out of that son of a bitch. To make the American dream accessible to everybody. What do we got to do? If Black Lives Matter. But you want to know something? If only the video matters, and if only your following on social media matters, then nothing will change. And let me just tell you this. The Democrats have run these states and these cities forever. And they are not going to change shit. But they need everybody to stay in line through the election, right? So, I don't know. It's just frustrating. I say the biggest crisis we have in this country is a crisis of leadership. And you see it all over the country. You see it in Seattle. You see it in Portland. You know, this whole thing gets going because a little kid who was the mayor in Minneapolis was terrified to do that which he should have done, which is stop a protest to turn violent. And because of it, that city burned. And because of that, other cities burned. So, you're painting with kind of a broad brush this morning. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but I'll tell you what, the truth matters. I've learned that from doing radio for a long time. The truth matters. At the end of the day, the truth matters. And let me tell you what you see on TV. You see a lot of bullshit. The NBA ought to be absolutely fucking ashamed of their conduct relative to the people of China. That when people got near their bank account, they went silent. Cricket, 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 cricket. Oh, don't make me into a bad guy just because I'm protecting my money. What does that mean? Does that mean you're okay with the subjugation of millions of people to taking away of their right to speak, of their basic rights as human beings? You're okay with that? Because as long as it doesn't get near your money, and if it gets near your money, that ain't fair to you? Amazing. Amazing. Nike. And again, and when that shit was going on, I said, watch. When the next social media meltdown happens in our country, these guys who have been silent will be all over it, because you can talk shit about the United States, right? And Nike will lead the way. Just don't fuck with their money. So anyway, it is 8:41 here on Monday. Gene Sledge and Studs Terkel are coming up. United States Marine Corps Band plays the national anthem this morning. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. were I you, and I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but I kind of will a little bit. Were I you, I would listen to the thing I re-recorded that is Monday's Open. It's interesting. And one of the interesting points that I'll elaborate on is the quote unquote, I have to be an expert in order to talk about this stuff. And so I had a Marine come up to me and say, you know, but I don't feel comfortable telling somebody what else to do. I said, but you don't have to tell them what to do. And then he looked at me. I said, if you found a gas station with really cheap gas, would you tell your friend? He said, yeah. I said, okay, so if you found something that you thought was good, would you share it with your friend? He said, yeah. I said, okay, we'll share this as a friend. Hey, man, I sat through this the other day, and I thought it was good. I figured I'd share it with you. And I'd like to talk to about this part of it because I thought it was really interesting. Can you do that? He starts laughing. He says, I could do that. I said, there you go. I said, and what you're doing is you're having a conversation, right? So you stop faking it and you're talking about it. If you'll do 1 and 6 commandments, you can get through it, man. If you can get through 1 and 6, that is, you know, you've just defeated isolation. And then if you'll take on the other big demon, which is ignorance, and the more you learn about this stuff, the more it will influence your behavior. But starts with a conversation. Doesn't start with being an expert. They're like, all right, that's cool. I could do that. So, yeah, so I talk about that as well. So, anyway, a whole bunch of cool conversations last week down at Camp Pendleton. So, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to Studs Terkel for Capture, an interview with Eugene B. Sledge that you're going to hear the first half of today. So thank you, Studs. He was one of those unique characters in American history and wrote a book called The Good War. And let me just read you something real quick. Where did the title come from? We were in a tribal sort of situation in the Army where we could help each other without fear. I realized that it was the absence of phony standards that created the thing I loved about the Army. This neighbor told me that what we needed was a damn good war and we'd solve our agricultural problems. And I said, yes, but I'd hate to pay for it with my son, which we did. He weeps. It's too much of a price to pay. He goes on, the war was fun for America. I'm not talking about the poor souls who lost sons and daughters, but for the rest of us, the war was a hell of a good time. The war changed our whole idea of how we wanted to live when we got back. We set our sights pretty high. All of us wanted better levels of living. Ours was not the only country among the combatants of World War II that was neither invaded nor bombed. Ours were the only cities not blasted to rubble. World War II has warped our view of how we look at things today. We see things in terms of that war, which in a sense was a good war. But the twisted memory of it encourages the men of my generation to be willing, almost eager, to use military force anywhere in the world. It was one war that many who would have resisted, quote, your other wars, supported enthusiastically. It was a just war, if there is any such animal. In a time of nuclear weaponry, it is the language of a lunatic. And that's from The Good War in Oral History of World War II. So, yes, that's Terkel. So this is dedicated to him, with many thanks for capturing Eugene Sledge.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
That is funny, right? About the alcohol. Come on. Time for us to check the weather. Currently in Quantico, hot. It is mostly sunny in 84. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune, mostly sunny, 84. 29 Palms, sunny, 91. Pendleton, clouds and 78 degrees already. Think of that. Clouds and 78. Yikes. Going to be hot. Camp Smith, dark, cloudy, and 75. As we get ready to head into September. How about that? Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 83. Okinawa's got 5 weather alerts. What's up there? And if it says 5, for some reason, it's always 6. I don't understand. Let me tell you what's going on. Oh, maybe not. It's all written in Japanese. Heavy rainfall warning is in effect. High wave warning is in effect for Okinawa. Thunderstorm advisory is in effect. And a gale advisory is also in effect. 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember, Army's real. Warning. Okay, real. Yep. That's how that works. My friend's got to learn the whole tornado watch warning system. In a tornado watch, not a big deal. Happens all the time. In a tornado warning. What? Get to the basement. Yep. Further to the west in Afghanistan, evening 97 degrees with clear skies in the Helmand province, which is south central Afghanistan and the home of a lot of the opium grown in the world. And in Iraq, it is dropped below 100 degrees early in the evening there. Clear in 99 in the western part of Iraq. And at the home of All Marine Radio right now, it is currently partly sunny and 74 degrees. There's one weather warning. Small craft advisory is in effect. You know, the only thing really that's wrong with our weather is the humidity. You know, the heat, like, oh, it's a dry heat. Yeah. We don't like the humidity. So the humidity, let's see, let's look at 3 in the afternoon. It's going to be 64%. Like, what is it, we in Kansas or some bullshit? Like, come on, this is ridiculous. We should have humidity of like 10%. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem of the problem of the problem in all this craziness. The humidity. Somebody do something about it. Yeah, not so happy. Forecast for today. That's the hourly forecast. Let me see if there's somebody that's written something. I get a lot of numbers. I get a lot of data. At 10 o'clock, it's going to be this. At 8 o'clock, it's going to be this. How about the old-fashioned forecast? Today, when is it going to stop being humid? Right? Hold on. Weekly weather forecast for Los Angeles. Somebody asked me, are you watching the political conventions? What do you think? Do I want to really get pissed off at life? No. I don't watch that stuff. Yeah, you can't find a forecast. Remember the forecast you used to read in the news? Today it's going to be, you know, 81 degrees, mostly sunny skies. You know, winds will be out of this. You can't find that anymore. All you have is pictures because we're stupid now. We're stupid. All you have is picture. Can't find anything with text in it. You know what you can find, though? National Weather Service will give that to you. National Weather Service. Yeah, National Weather Service. Let me punch my zip code in here. And I will, Okay. For today, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with the high near 86. Light west winds increasing to 5 to 10 miles an hour this afternoon. Now, I want to know, when is the humidity going to end? Somebody stop this. All right? Anyway, I guess I'm not going to find that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take a few news headlines. And then after that, real quick. And then you'll hear Studs Terkel interviewing Gene Sledge. And I'm going to say they're just wonderful interviews as they talk about, and again, to hear Gene Sledge in long format, you can read about him in long format, but to hear him speak in long format is awesome. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Colleen's got a birthday this week. Going back to school, too. Yeah, I mean, how much would it suck? I mean, last year, if you were a senior in high school, you're an athlete, nothing. Right? Now you got a chance to spend the whole year like that. So school's heading back to session. Colleen heading back to school or something like it. Supposedly first going to start off with 100% distance learning, and then they will evolve it from there. Yeah. All right, to the headlines we go, and then you're going to hear Eugene Sledge and Studs Terkel here in hour number two. Some headlines. Top of the fold headline, Stars and Stripes amid coronavirus pandemic. Students' first day at DOD education facilities overseas looks very different. So it has a bunch of kids wearing masks, blah, 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 blah. So got that going for you. Next headline. Turkey to buy more Russian missile systems despite U.S. sanction threats, according to a report. Russia plans to deliver more S-400 surface-to-air missile systems to NATO ally Turkey despite warnings from Washington that Ankara may face sanctions if it deploys them. Yeah, that's Turkey's dance with, screw you to NATO. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand how it's going to be tolerated. It's not good. Now, this was a story over the weekend, right? And since it involves the Russians, what do we know it involves? lying. Oh, what a shock. Opponents of Vladimir Putin got poisoned. This is from the Wall Street Journal, breaking news. German doctors treating Russian dissident Alexei Navalny said he was poisoned by a substance commonly found in nerve gas and in pesticides. Headline in Stars and Troops from a German hospital. Signs of poisoning found in Russian dissident Navalny. Alexei Navalny's wife, Yulia, arrives at the Charite Hospital in Berlin, Germany. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny is being treated at the hospital by German doctors after a suspected poisoning. Tests conducted on Russian dissident Alexei Navalny at a German hospital indicate he was poisoned, but doctors said Monday they do not believe his life is in immediate risk. Yeah, be careful with that. The Russians are pretty good at poisoning people. They do it with they do it with nuclear agents on a regular basis. You know, this story is proving to be a story that has legs, and that is stories about Fort Hood in Texas. Official: missing Texas soldier reported sexual abuse. Now, this is a guy, a soldier who has gone missing from Fort Hood in Central Texas, has been involved in an open investigation of abusive sexual contact. Sergeant Elder Fernandez was reported missing on Wednesday. Killeen, Texas police said he hasn't been seen since Monday when his staff sergeant dropped him off at his home. The unit's sexual assault response coordinator has been working closely with Sergeant Fernandez, ensuring he was aware of all his reporting, care, and victim advocacy options, Fort Hood Public Affairs Officer Lieutenant Colonel Chris Brautigam said in a statement. Brautigam also stated that Fernandez had been transferred to another unit, quote, to ensure he received the proper care and ensure there was no opportunities for reprisal. So he's gone missing. Now that begets a second article here, and it is a Stars and Stripes article. Why is Fort Hood the Army's most crime-ridden post? Latrice Johnson woke up gasping for air at exactly 2:43 on March 14th at her home in Vidalia, Georgia. She said it was like a dream, but she knew instantly that something had happened to her son, Specialist Freddie De La Cruz. I felt him take his last breath. I saw him call me. I felt him being shot, Johnson said, recalling the pain she felt at exactly the time her son was shot 6 times in an apartment in Killeen, Texas. I literally gargled in the same blood. De La Cruz was shot and killed, along with his pregnant girlfriend, Asia Klein, 20, and Army veteran Shaquille Allred, 23. He was a second soldier murdered this year at Fort Hood, but not the last. Between March and June, the deaths of 5 soldiers have become homicides more than the past 4 years combined. At least 2 veterans who had separated from the Army at Fort Hood within the previous 6 months were slain. Additionally, 2 soldiers are alleged to have committed murder. In the previous 4 years, only 2 soldiers' deaths were considered homicides, according to data from the Fort Hood Public Affairs Officers. Both died in 2017. In addition to the increase in homicides, at Fort Hood, the number of violent crimes committed by soldiers at the post this year and since 2015 is alarming. The two issues raise questions. Why this post? Why now? Ryan McCarthy, Secretary of the Army. The numbers are high there. They are the highest in most cases for sexual assault, harassment, murders for our entire formation of the U.S. Army. How about that? Why? What's going on in Fort Hood? Pretty amazing. The some headlines in Wall Street Journal. Here's another headline. Breaking news. TikTok said it is suing the U.S. government to challenge Trump's order that could effectively ban the app, asserting that it protects user data. Hold on. Hold on. You got to hear this. Asserting that it protects user data. I screwed it up. Right? Asserting, TikTok, that it protects user data. That was a joke, right? It's a joke. It's an app designed to be popular and then allow the Chinese to mine your data on your phone should they need to. That's what that app does. And if you don't believe that, you're stupid. No, maybe you're just in denial. Maybe you're smart and you're in denial. Or maybe you just don't give a shit if the Chinese mine data on your app, okay? You want to be a TikTok person. So go get it. Anyway, TikTok is challenging that. Why wouldn't you? So the other story, if you didn't see it over the weekend, was that Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, stoked the fire about TikTok. So evidently, as he worked to fend off his own regulation, one of the companies that he threw under the bus says, hey, look, let me tell you where you do need to take a look at. And that is companies like TikTok. So Zuckerberg, man, is he just about the biggest doofus on the planet? Congratulations to him for pulling all this off. But wow. Amazing. New COVID-19 cases in the United States fall to their lowest levels in more than 2 months. The number of new coronavirus infections fell in the U.S. to 34,567 on Sunday, reaching its lowest level in more than 2 months and notching a ninth straight day with fewer than 50,000 new cases. Congratulations, America. Well done. How about that? Here's something entitled The COVID Storm. Headline, new thinking on COVID lockdowns, overly blunt and costly. You think? Blanket business shutdowns, which the U.S. never tried before this pandemic, led to a deep recession. Economists and health experts say there may be a better way. Now that is something worth your time. All right, USNI News. Summer Fuhrer drills honed, this is by Gidget Fuentes. Summer Fuhrer drills hone Marines' new island hopping fight. An article on from Friday when the memorial service was held at Camp Pendleton. Eight Marines and one sailor killed in an Amtrak. So, the service was closed to the public and the media. And the 15th BMU said that they would release pictures of the memorial service over the weekend. The Commandant of the Marine Corps attended. So, anyway, that happened on Friday as well. The headlines in Marine Corps Times. We talked about the safety of the AAV, right? Article by Philip Athley. I don't know who Philip Athley is. Does it say who Philip Athley is? Former Marine? Or just a journalist? Merely a journalist. Does it say who he is? Does not say who he is. Anyhow, gives a bit of historical perspective to the Amtrak accident. And you heard Jeff Kenney come on and talk about, Will Cosentini talk about, you know, I mean, these things are are, you know, historically extremely safe platforms. We've all been in them. We've all operated in them. The July 30th amphibious assault vehicle accident that killed nine was the deadliest AAV-related accident in Marine Corps history, according to data from the Naval Safety Center. Prior to the July 30th accident, only eight Marines had died in AAV-related mishaps, according to the data from the Naval Safety Center sent to Marine Corps Times on Friday. The first recorded accident happened on November 19th of 1988 during a training exercise at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms. That not even the same genre, okay? When somebody gets run over by an Amtrak and they're sleeping, I mean, that's a different issue. Prior to July, only two Marines had been killed due to AAV sinking during training exercises, according to the Data Safety Center. The first Marine died in a February 1994 incident. The second was a sergeant who died in 2011 when an AAV carrying six Marines sank in a Del Mar boat basin. Five Marines were able to escape that. In both 2005 and 2017, amphibious assault vehicles were involved in two Class A mishaps that did not involve the loss of life. Right, everybody remembers in 2017 there was the AAV that essentially hit the propane line and lit that thing on fire. It was a blowtorch. But that's not what we're talking about. So according to this, there was only one other incident I don't know. Off the top of my head, I thought there was an incident off Okinawa, and I thought there was an incident. And Jeff Kenny said he thought there was an incident in the Med. Interesting. Interesting historical perspective. Well, I'll tell you what. If this article's right, then the platform's even safer than we were talking about. So, yeah, this doesn't happen very often, as we said. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then you're going to hear Eugene Sledge and Studs Terkel. Number one, artificial intelligence algorithm defeats human fighter pilot in simulated dogfight. Now, here's the problem, though, with artificial intelligence. Okay, unless you want to launch it in an autonomous fashion where it doesn't need to communicate with anybody, which is certainly an option. So it goes and, it can be, how would I do this if I was smart? So it launches and it's sensing, okay? And when it gets the appropriate inputs, it activates its own radars and it gets after it. And then either something good or something bad is going to happen. And if something good happens and it survives, and then once this criteria is met and then we're low on fuel, then it can come home. But the problem, if you're going to link these things and to act in some form of concert, is you got to be able to communicate. And the data links don't currently exist, and the redundancy of the networks don't currently exist to do that. So when you say, hey, the next generation fighter ought to be, unmanned, there's some problems with that. Not the technology inside the aircraft exists to do that. Right, the ability to data link that, to control that, unless you want to launch it autonomously, not so much. All right? Not so much. This story is about, right, an unmanned, artificially intelligenced aircraft defeating fighter pilots. The August 20th event was the finale of the Pentagon's research agency's AI air combat competition. The algorithm, developed by Heron Systems, easily defeated the fighter pilot in all five rounds that capped off a year-long competition hosted by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. The competition, called Alpha Dogfight Trials, was part of DARPA's Air Combat Evaluation Program, which is exploring automation in air-to-air combat and looking to improve human trust in AI systems. Quote, it's easy to go down the wrong path of thinking that is either A, definitive in some way as to what the future of basic fighter maneuvers will be, or B, that it is a bad outcome, said Justin Mock of DARPA, a fighter pilot and commentator for the trials. From a human perspective, from the fighter pilot world, we talked about we trust what works. And what we saw was that in this limited area, in this specific scenario, we've got AI that works. The human pilot, only known to the audience by his call sign, Banger, for operational security reasons, is a graduate of the Air Force Weapons Instructor Course, a highly selective training course reserved for top fighter pilots. While the victory for AI systems is a big step forward for the young DARPA program, the work is far from over. Whoa. You know, it's going to be all over that. Alex Hollings. Oh, my God. Can hardly sleep. Number two, Inspector General. Air Guard intel planes surveilled 7 George Floyd protests without proper authorization. Awesome. I mean, come on. The Air Force's Officer of Inspector General faulted the Air National Guard for how it conducted 7 RC-26 Bravo reconnaissance flights over public demonstrations following the death of George Floyd in June. Using intelligence assets here in the United States. I don't think we're supposed to do that. In an August report of investigation obtained Friday by the Air Force Times from the Office of the Secretary of Defense, the IG said that the National Guard bureaus didn't get proper permission to use reconnaissance planes in law enforcement matters. Although some members of Congress expressed concern that the flights may have collected personal information on American citizens, the IG said that did not happen. The planes were only capable of collecting infrared and electro-optical imagery, the report said, and its equipment is not detailed enough to distinguish people's personal features. Nonetheless, I think there's some wickets you got to go through to do that kind of stuff. So, interesting little story. Number two, mishandling of misconduct reports, retaliation, a pattern across the National Guard. Nice. Number four, postmaster pledges veterans' prescriptions won't be hurt by mail service changes. Oh, my God. The head of the United States Postal Service on Friday acknowledged dips in service in recent months, but denied any large-scale failures or deliberate mail slowdowns were to blame for problems with veteran prescription deliveries or other postal operations. Post office, man. Look, why do we need mail on Saturday? I don't think we need it. Monday through Friday is fine. Mac, you clearly don't get your bills in the mail. Who does? Come on, man. What is this, Little House on the Prairie? Number five, July's accident that killed 9 is the deadliest AV accident in Marine Corps history. You know, I'm going to forward that to Jeff Kenney. I thought there were other incidents. Maybe that the vehicle sunk and everybody got out? I don't know. Some overseas headlines. U.S.-led troops withdraw from Iraq's Taji Air Base. Yeah, how about that? United States-led international coalition troops withdrew from Iraq's Taji military base on Sunday, handed over to Iraqi security forces. So, there you go. Taji, you've heard that name for a couple decades now. U.S. halts military cooperation with Mali as coup supporters celebrate. On Friday, the United States said it suspended cooperation with Mali's military in response to the overthrow of the president as thousands gathered in the capital to celebrate the junta's takeover. Next headline from Foreign Policy. Coup plotters in Mali were trained by the U.S. military. Although the United States has halted all security assistance training and support for the Malian military forces that carried out a coup in the West African country, after new details emerged that the coup was orchestrated in part by military officers who received training from the United States. Another good news story. No fresh U.S. military coronavirus cases reported on the USS Ronald Reagan or on Guam. So that's a look at your news. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear Gene Sledge and Studs Terkel. And in an interview that I found, today is part one of the interview. Tomorrow will be part two. So, yeah, whatever you don't touch that dial. Eugene Sledge, who wrote With the Old Breed, With the Old Breed was one of the books that the series The Pacific was based on. Sledge is a, you're going to hear, he's a thinker. He's a writer, obviously. And he's a humble guy who is trying to make sense of this experience that he had. And if you don't know a whole lot about his background, I will tell you this. He served as a mortarman in Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. The company call sign is Sledgehammer. Pretty cool call sign. I know that because my son was in that company. He serves every day during the Battle of Peleliu, which is a brutal one for the 1st Marine Division. He also serves every day in the Battle of Okinawa, 82 days. And you'll hear him, and I'm not sure if it's in part one or part two, but you'll hear him in, you'll hear him discuss maggots, and how Okinawa was different than Peleliu, and how the southern end of Okinawa was different even from the other parts of the battle on Okinawa. You know, when they kind of got to a stalemate and they were fighting over the same ridgeline for an extended period of time. So you'll hear that coming up next. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.